International monitors say Afghanistan's largest bank should be under new management.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. We begin in Afghanistan, where the International Monetary Fund just completed a look at the economy there. The IMF says management of the country's largest private bank, Kabul Bank, should be taken over by someone. Anyone. Corruption and mismanagement there has cost Kabul Bank hundreds of millions of dollars. The BBC's Quentin Somerville is with us from Kabul with more. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Remind us exactly what happened at this bank. Where did this money go?
Well, this isn't any ordinary bank. If you can imagine a bank that pretty much pays everybody's salary in the country, Kabul Bank had the president's brother on the board, Mahmoud Karzai. So it was a very well-connected bank, but it turned out that it had huge loans, many of those loans given with very uncertain terms, no payback date, and that's what caused the bank to almost collapse, and the central bank in Afghanistan had to step in and effectively bail the bank out.
And how have authorities responded there, Quentin?
They've gone through the books with a fine-tooth comb. The U.S. Treasury Department's involved in one of them. And they've discovered that almost like $600 million worth of loans are outstanding. And what they've been doing is very carefully going through and making sure that they can renegotiate those loans and get the people who borrowed the money to pay it back.
The BBC's Quentin Somerville in Kabul. Quentin, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
This morning, Qantas put a price tag on its super jumbo engine problems, $80 million. A few months back, a Qantas flight was forced to make an emergency landing after one of its Rolls-Royce engines exploded in midair. The airline then grounded its entire fleet of Airbus A380s because of that incident. Reporter Christopher Worth has more.
Today's announcement is the first time Qantas has pinned a number to the losses it suffered from halting operations on its super jumbo planes. The problem took over 3 weeks to solve and disrupted travel plans for thousands of passengers, which is why $80 million doesn't sound like much. Howard Wieldon of BGC Partners says that although it seemed to drag on at the time, engineers at Rolls-Royce actually acted rather quickly.
Rolls-Royce solved the problem. So I think overall, I'm not surprised that this figure is lower than some might have thought.
That said, Rolls-Royce didn't walk away scot-free. Fixing the faulty engines cost the company $90 million, but Wieldon says confidence in the engine maker has returned. And while there was some speculation the incident could hurt Airbus, the maker of the A380, he says although there has been some small delay in delivering new aircraft, it's done no long-term damage to the company's major investment in the super jumbo jet. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets in Europe are mostly flat at the moment. Asian shares, though, finished the day mostly higher. Honda said today it's recalling more than 700,000 of its cars, including 2009 and 10 model Fits in the United States. Faulty motion springs could cause the engine to stall. Wall Street yesterday, markets were up 0.5% or more. The Dow up 61 points to end the day at 12,200.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner goes before the Senate Banking Committee today to talk about the president's 2012 budget proposal. Well, maybe politicians would do better to leave the budget up to everyday folk, because when presented with the budget in some detail, most respondents of a University of Maryland study were able to reduce the deficit. Researcher Stephen Call heads up Maryland's Program for Public Consultation. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
You asked everyday people to solve the budget deficit, which isn't an easy task. What did you find?
It was really quite extraordinary. We presented a representative sample of Americans, about 800 Americans, the federal budget broken down into 31 areas and said, you can increase or decrease it as you see fit. And they were able to substantially cut the spending levels by about $146 billion. We also went through revenues, income taxes, corporate taxes, and they did actually increase revenues by, on average, $292 billion. So they did make a substantial dent in the budget deficit.
Give us some specifics. You mentioned some taxes went up and a lot of spending went down. What kind of solutions did people come up with?
Well, the biggest cut that they made was to defense spending, which they cut just over $100 billion. They also cut intelligence, the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. They cut federal highways. They cut the space program. They cut veterans benefits. Those were the biggest areas of cuts. They actually increased a few areas, too, job training, the environment, education.
What about politics? Any deference toward politics in this?
It's not really what you'd expect. The independents did the best, and they made the biggest cuts and made the biggest increases. That was followed by the Democrats, and the Republicans had the least cuts in spending and the least increases in taxes.
Why is it so tough for people in Washington to do this, to make this work?
Within Washington, there's such a battle between all these forces. But if you give the average American the time to just sit down and say, okay, look, here is the problem. People can think in a holistic way, and they don't just think in terms of their own interests. They really were thinking about what's really necessary for the country as a whole.
Stephen Call, director of the Program for Public Consultation at the University of Maryland. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And there's a link to the full study at marketplace.org. Finally, former President Clinton's two terms took up much of the 1990s, during the dot-com boom, remember? But the former president this week told an audience at the Wired for Change conference in New York that his 8 years as president, he sent out only two emails, one to American troops stationed in the Balkans, the other to astronaut and former Senator John Glenn, who at age 77 was on a mission in outer space. Mr. Clinton joked he wasn't worried if the Republican Congress subpoenaed those emails. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. On Twitter, at Radio Chio, this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Clothes, it's said, make the man and the woman, it seems. As Fashion Week ends in New York City, the most notable trend was suits for her.
People buy tailored clothing. That's what people invest in.
Don't throw out those floral dresses yet, though. I'm Kai Rizdal. Fashion is cyclical, you know. We'll have the day's business news as well and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.